Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome, I'm John Ramos. We want to welcome all of our viewers to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. Here to encourage you today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello, man. How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
I'm glad to hear that.
Doing really well.
And Steve Kalaszewski.
Well, hello, gentlemen.
How are you?
It's good to be here.
It's good to see you. It's good to see you as well. We are excited because we have a lot of things to be talking and sharing with you today. We're honored that you've allowed us to be in your homes or wherever you watch VFN TV on the Gulf Coast. And, of course, all those that are listening on VFN radio across the country and the world. We love your interaction, and we're so grateful that we get a chance to do this together. We have some tragedy to share with you today that, in terms of an awesome man of God just passed away, Dr. Miles Monroe and his family, his wife and his daughter, his wife Ruth and his daughter Carissa, I believe, died in a plane crash as they were landing in the Bahamas. They were just, in fact, they're just having a conference, and he won't be at his conference. And it's a loss to the body of Christ, to the kingdom. Dr. Miles Monroe was 60 years old, international speaker, government consultant, a true kingdom man. You know, I personally, you know, when I got saved, one of the very first books I've ever read, I believe it was the first book I read, was a book that he wrote called Understanding Your Potential. And that book ruined my life. It ruined it? In a great way. it ruined my life to the point where, you know, I was lost. I was away from God, and I had no idea. I knew nothing really about God. Mm-hmm. And understanding that you know, God was put all this potential on the inside of me, that God could use me at one day, it never dawned my mind. Mm-hmm. And I was a college student at the time, and since then I've read several books that Dr. I have a book on fatherhood that he wrote that my now 14-year-old son, when he was a baby, cut his teeth on that book, and I still have it. But, I you know, one of the things that he is well-known in his ministry for was kingdom. I mean, he understood the kingdom of God, and he had a call to turn every follower into a leader. And he wanted to impart leadership and vision to many disciples. Their ministry was based in the Bahamas, Bahama Faith Ministries International. And he's traveled the world preaching the good news, authored over 69 books, co-authored 100 books. And his books, some of them may be thin, but believe me, they're meaty. And a loss, really, to the kingdom and to the body of Christ. He's going to be missed, no doubt. And we ask that you pray for the family. We pray that you pray for Bahamas Faith Ministries International, the church that gathers there. He was a transformational leader. And I was talking to someone actually on the way into the studio today, and I was just talking about Dr. Miles Monroe and his life. And, you know, the more I live and the more I interact with people that are living for Jesus, man, and they're going on the stretch, the more that I believe God is stirring in my heart the importance of honor. You know, when someone has an anointing on their life, when somebody carries something, it just doesn't happen. You know, it just doesn't happen, that it's because of their time with God. It's because they were willing to go maybe first, deeper, or longer, and made themselves available to God, that now they're maybe leading a ministry or a church or a fellowship, and they contribute to the body of Christ. And oftentimes when someone passes away, we think about the void that will be in maybe an organization or a family. But when we think about that void being lost, what are we really thinking about? You know, are we thinking about, oh, just the fun times? Are we just thinking about, you know, what they contributed maybe to the, you know, the family in terms of finances or something? Or, you know, but do we, is there a void of character? Is there a void of leadership? Is there a void of revelatory truth? You know, those are the things that you really, is there a void of love? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. When someone is gone and you say there's a void, what is that void? Mm-hmm. Is it just frivolous stuff of just fun memories? Or is it things that you can really kind of sink your teeth in and say, wow? You know, and Dr. Mazel Rose was one of those individuals, but it causes me to really think about those that I'm in contact with, those that I know personally, and really, I think it's a good thing for the body of Christ to really start to get that on the inside of them. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a generation that does not understand honor. They right. don't understand kingdom. They don't understand giftings. And, you know, if you have a gift, you know, you honor God with the gift, you serve others with the gift, and that gift becomes a blessing to the body of Christ. But when mm-hmm. that person passes away, that gift that person was faithful to steward, that they were faithful to go to God in and grow in and fan into flame, now that gift is gone. Mm-hmm. You know, and we've seen here in recent days with the passing of Steve Hill, who was 60, Dr. Miles Monroe was 60, young men.
Yeah.
They've passed away. It's time for the next generation of leaders, the next generation to step up and mm-hmm. say, those that have gone before us have run their race. They've been faithful in their generation. And now we can continue the forward advancement of the kingdom. We are upon some of the greatest days mm-hmm. that the church has ever seen in throughout history. We are on the verge of this. And just before something great like this happens, there's a lot of things that begin to start shaking and rattling in the spiritual realm. There's things that occur. And we want to remind you not to lose focus today, not to be distracted by the shiny objects. We're going to be talking today about heaven. We're going to be talking about the reality that life is but a vapor. It's a mist, James says. It's here today. And, you know, it's gone. And, you know, something that I talk about, death, I think, often, and it's not to be morbid or to be sad or to bring anyone in a state of depression, but I think I talk about it quite often because it helps to awaken people mm-hmm. to the precious gift that we have called life.
Mm-hmm.
Life is so precious. It is so, it's so wonderful when we're using it for the right reasons.
Right.
When we're squeezing life out mm-hmm. in terms of glorifying the Lord. And today many people are living like they're going to live forever, and they are, but that like there are no consequences, that they can just come and go and do and act. And let me tell you, there's consequences in life. It matters how you live. It matters what happens. And so we look at Dr. Miles Monroe and we say, wow, he lived a life mm-hmm. that glorified God, and now he's gone. Think of what he's left behind. I believe that when we leave this earth, we should leave some sort of spiritual legacy. We mm-hmm. should leave a deposit behind mm-hmm. that will others to build on, others continue to grow. And in fact, it's one of the things that he wrote in his book, Understanding Your Potential. I actually wrote another book called Releasing Your Potential. And one of the things that he wrote about was that the cemeteries today are filled today with untapped potential. That God put so much in the seed of man. There was a seed inside every man to do extraordinary things for God, to reach the maximum potential in their life. Mm-hmm. And many people are sitting in prisons today. They're sitting in they're in their graves, and they've never tapped into the greatness that God put on the inside of them. And the greatness that God puts on the inside of you, inside of me, inside of all of us, is not for us. The greatness that God puts inside of you is so that you can grow and there's fruit in your life that would bless the nations. It's for others to come mm-hmm. and pick the fruit off of your life. I want to encourage you today to look with a different perspective, the people that are in your life. Look at your, you're the pastor in your local church. Look at the leaders in your life that, that, you know, serve God, and recognize the anointing on their life. Recognize what God has done in their life and what they contribute to the kingdom of God. You know, what would happen when we get around our leaders and really begin to pray? Mm-hmm. You know, Timothy tells us that it's wise, it's our, to our benefit to pray for leaders that it will go well with you. Mm-hmm. And how many people, how many believers today are really praying for their leaders? They're really praying for them. And then we have governmental leaders. I've seen more people talk negatively about mm-hmm. our president without not a prayer. You know, governmental leaders are there. They're servants to do what's right. But it's not our position to criticize them. We may not agree with certain policies. We may not agree with strategies. We may not agree with laws that come from maybe their administration or their governance. But as an individual, they have a soul. As an individual, they are valuable to God. And someone who's in leadership, that means that they have been given authority mm-hmm. and they have the power of influence. And their authority and the decisions that they make not just affect themselves, but they affect a multitude of people, any leader. So the maybe the higher the office or the greater the responsibility, the greater the influence. So government leaders obviously have a large influence. We want to pray for them. You think about our church leaders. Mm-hmm. They have an enormous impact, you know, and one thing that really gets to me, I read Jim Baker's book, I Was Wrong, and I wept during that book. Mm-hmm. I wept reading it. And you know, he wrote his life story and some of the things that happened in his life, but I was appalled at some of the things that were written, people wrote about Jim Baker, attacking him personally. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't attack people, and I wonder, like, did we pray for him? Did we cover him? I want to encourage you to cover church leaders, especially those that are pouring into your life. Mm-hmm. Pray for them earnestly. Don't speak your will over them. Speak God's blessing over them. You know, what we do in the kingdom of God and our way of living and going on the front lines, It's a real battle.
Yeah.
You're confronting spiritual darkness, and you need air cover. When mm-hmm. we get back from this break, we're going to continue to talk about the importance of praying for leaders, the importance of honoring a life dedicated to God, and we're going to talk about the hope that we have. Every person, if you're still alive, you have the hope of heaven, and we're going to talk about how you can get there when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 Eye Guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, 2 locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 Eye Guy.
The Army Navy Store. Come visit us today in one of our 2 locations to better serve your needs in Crestview and Fort Walton Beach, where we have tactical gear, guns, ammo, multicam, and so much more. Come see us today.
Law, liberty, justice. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My question is, I've heard a lot of talk about the conscience laws lately as regards to like the medical community.
Right.
Yeah, I was wondering about the fact that we spend millions of dollars every year as taxpayers that we might not feel good about, that we have no say over, that goes to abortion.
Well, what's interesting is the Supreme Court, on the issue of how your taxes are spent, have said that's a general obligation of being a citizen of the United States of America. And when you have to pay your taxes, that means sometimes your government may spend money you disagree with. The difference on the Conscience Clause issues, it's an individual right that you have to not violate your conscience through an action. And paying the taxes is not one of those.
Learn more about our work and receive timely updates on the most critical issues facing our country today by visiting us at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
And you know, Pat, I abide. Do you abide?
Oh, yeah.
Steve, do you abide?
Oh, yeah.
I abide, you abide, Steve abides. We all abide together. We want to encourage you to abide along with us.
I think Chris does, too.
And I think Chris does, too. He's shaking.
We got
a
smile.
He doesn't have a mic.
Smile,
oh, right, he's jumping. He abides, too. And I know Greg abides. Listen, join us in abiding. We talked about how you can get a free, simple plan. Go to iabide.org, select Get Your Free Plan Today. And when you begin to abide, we want to hear what the Lord is saying to you. Contact us. Of course, you can always follow us on Facebook and go to VFNTV.com to find different ways that you can connect with us and with the program. Mm. And we want to hear what God is saying. There's so many abiders right now, and God's saying so many wonderful things. Children are hearing from God, and they're journaling what God is speaking to them in the Word. And
with
that
crayons.
Is beautiful. Crayons, pens, markers, you name it. They're just writing it down. And God's speaking to them, giving them dreams. And it's like, wow, very good. So the Spirit knows no age. You know that? Spirit knows no age.
Nope.
And when God wants to speak, He will definitely, definitely speak.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. We're talking about the passing of Dr. Miles Monroe, international speaker, minister, government consultant, trainers of leaders, motivational speaker. I mean, an awesome man of God who leaves a long legacy and a kingdom man. He understood the kingdom of God. And that's what we've been talking about here in the last several weeks, about the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom. And he will be missed, but I think about the legacy that he leaves behind.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all challenged just as we were talking about, you know, the importance of yes, we look forward to the day of being in heaven, but earth should be changed. Earth should be affected by your life. God allowed you and allows you now to live on this earth. That's a gift. What are you doing to transform life around you? You can't do it unless God, if you're a believer, you can begin to bring transformation. And transformation first happens when God transforms your heart, and your life. And now you can become an agent of transformation. You can begin by transforming your family, helping to, of course, empowered by the Holy Spirit, but you can be an agent of change, a person that comes in because you represent the King and His kingdom. You can begin to speaking life into a situation, hope into a situation. God can bring you to a place of influence where now your words are not empty words, but your words are life, and they help to bring people to a place of change, a place where they acknowledge Jesus as Lord, and the Holy Spirit begins to work a transformation in their life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, many times we walk through life, and yeah, we will affect it. We will affect situations, but are we affecting it the good way?
Yeah, right.
You know, are we leaving destruction behind in our paths? Are we?
What's our wake look like?
Yeah, what does the wake look like?
Mm-hmm.
Every boat has a wake. And a wake is what you see behind the boat, kind of a V shape, if you will. And it tells you where the boat has been. And it has two sides. And your life is just like that. There's a wake. As you're going through life, it represents your integrity, how you treated others and how you lived life. And what did you do? Did you honor God? Did you have integrity? Did you do what you say you were supposed to do?
Mm-hmm.
That you said you were going to do?
Yeah, thinking about this, like what you're saying, as far as a man with such
a kingdom legacy left behind. Like I think about, like you're saying before, like that void in our passing. It's like when you look at a life that's lived, it's like, what are you leaving behind? Mm-hmm. And it makes me think of Proverbs 13:22, and it says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And so often it's like you look at it and it's like we think about worldly wealth, but just like what you're saying, the greatest thing that we can live is that life that someone can look at is, what does it mean to be a man or a woman of godly character?
Yeah.
A man or a woman that's just that love, that wisdom, that guidance. And it's just like when you see that, it's just like you can't help but just recognize that we need to honor that. It's huge.
What are we valuing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, today there's so much value placed on things and stuff and money. And when you think of an inheritance, it's the first thing that people think about. But let me tell you something. What about a spiritual inheritance?
Right.
What like you're saying, what are you leaving behind in your life that your family can continue, you know, to live on? The family of God can continue to feed on because you left something of rich spiritual significance. And, you know, life is but a vapor. We're here just a little while, just a little while, and then we will, you know, enter into another phase of our life. We'll enter, you know, into eternity. And, you know, with that, I'm thinking about Reverend Billy Graham. Mm-hmm. Reverend Billy Graham just turned 96.
Wow.
96, and he's still going strong. Amazing man of God, amazing legacy, and talk about a spiritual inheritance leaving behind, but he just is still doing crusades in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
He just released another video, mm-hmm. and in the video, it is absolutely phenomenal. We're going to make sure that that's related for you. They did such an amazing job. They had him sharing the gospel and sharing about heaven, some of, you know, his previous messages mixed with the reflections of him at this age right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just absolutely amazing. They did a phenomenal job. It was so anointed because it just came from scriptures. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just the heart of God.
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking about heaven and how everyone gets a chance to go. And it's true. We all get the opportunity to be there.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, what are you going to do? You know, what is available to you? And today, you know, we want to talk about the gift of heaven. We want to talk about, are you prepared to die?
Mm.
It's an important question. It's an important question because, you know, I was in the insurance business some years ago, and I had the opportunity to speak to people every day about death. And you'll be shocked at the amount of people that don't think about death. They put it way in the back of their mind, and it's not something that they want to talk about, mm-hmm. but it's the reality of every single person, every man, woman, and child. We will all die one day. From the moment you're born, you're getting closer and closer to death.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that in this country, we don't talk about death enough. It's something that people try to avoid. They don't want to think about it. They don't want to talk about it. Most people, if you ask them their vision of their life, they see themselves growing very old and then, you know, dying at a certain age. Oh, maybe in my 80s, or maybe, you know, life expectancy is 75, 77 years in America, you know. What's your life expectancy? No one knows what their life expectancy is. No one knows the day. No one knows the exact hour that they will expire on this earth. And so when we're talking about death, it's not to talk about something that's morbid or depressing, but it's in a way for us to have a consciousness, an awareness of the awesome gift, the precious gift called life. I have a sign in my office that says, make today count, because I want to appreciate every moment. Mm-hmm. And I want to encourage mm-hmm. you to do the same. I want you not to get so stuck in the problems that you're facing, the trials that you're experiencing, maybe the negative setbacks that happen. It's part of life. Jesus told us that in this life, you will have troubles. He told us that. But he said, cheer up, because I've overcome the world. You know, today you have helicopter parents that hover around their children and don't want them to experience any kind of sadness. Mm-hmm. God forbid they don't get selected to the team, or they don't get an award, or they don't get a trophy, or they don't get to go to a certain event because they're going to be sad.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have parents that shelter their children from experiencing setbacks, hurts, disappointments, and failures, and they're not preparing them for the reality of life.
Right.
In this life, you will have setbacks.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You will experience trials, pains, hurts, loss, disappointments, mm-hmm. sadness. But in that, there's a greater hope for those that know Jesus Christ. The sadness doesn't last forever. And something Chris and I have learned to enjoy is a little sentence that, you know, we've said to each other, this too shall pass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't last forever. And we have the hope that if we have Jesus, we have everything.
Right.
You know, he'll see you through it. He really will. And James tells us, now listen, you who say, this is James chapter 4, verse 13 through 14. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or to that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes.
Hmm.
Why do we make such boastful claims
mm-hmm.
that we're going to do this, we're going to do that, I'm going to have this, you know, my job, my career, my family, my.
Hmm.
You don't even know the next second.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
The next second. I think about, you know, Abigail's husband when David was wanting to get little food there for his men. And he didn't want to come off anything. He didn't want to give David and his men no food. He didn't want to come off nothing.
Who didn't?
Abigail's husband.
Yeah.
And long story short, he didn't realize that that very same night he was going to lose his life.
Mm-hmm.
He lost his life and his wife the same night because he was being a fool. He was living for this life, not for... for anything else. He was holding on to the things of this world more tightly. Can you imagine?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the epitome of greed. When people hold on to food, it happens. You see it. We need to have the compassion and the love of God and to open our eyes to live to a greater existence than just today. God's called us for so much more. But we have to awaken ourselves to that consciousness. We have to awaken mm-hmm. ourselves to mm-hmm. that reality. When we get back for this break, we're going to talk about heaven and how we can get there and the hope we have as believers. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, we're going to talk to you about a way that you can know, like the sky is blue and the grass is green, that you can be with him for eternity. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFN TV and the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts. And we're just talking about what, you know, God is saying and some of the things that sharing some words about a spiritual avalanche, this huge mindset. And it's just so refreshing, because you know when you're hearing from the Lord and the things that we've heard and I've heard, is after a while you're just thinking like I'd like to hear about something good, you know. I mean, right. Is there something? We prayed for a long time. You know, we prayed for a long time, and part of one of the prayers that we were praying, you know, scripturally, is like, Lord, let us know your heart, your feelings, what you're thinking, and it came to a point. It's like, you know, I don't think I want to know this anymore, because it just felt so heavy and so broken, and so I don't think I have the grace. I don't have the ability in my humanness to be able to even tap in barely to your emotions, but I can't. And then we added to the prayer that you would give us grace to be able to handle this. And he did.
Yeah.
And because we don't want to, you lose your relationship with somebody when you're not willing to feel their feelings, you know, what they're thinking and feeling and empathize with them. And so you lose your relationship and turn it over to religion. But in the context of that, God's heart's broken over all this. Mm. And then he began to tell us that, but if you're broken over this, it's nothing wrong with you. It's a good thing. As a matter of fact, he talks about it in Ezekiel, and he literally put a sign in the sky for us after a time of 7 days of prayer and fasting. Mm-hmm. That he says, go down there, those that are broken over the situation. He's telling Ezekiel this, and put a mark on them. Put a mark on them so when this storm comes, that it won't affect them. Did he not do that? I mean, yes, he did that. Yeah. It's like, oh my goodness, thank you, Lord. And literally
it's
put
in the sky.
It was in the sign in the heavens about it. And so if you're gods, and not if you say you're gods, understand that. Not if somebody tells you that you're gods, God's with apostrophe S, you know, you're possessive, that you are God's son or daughter, is that you know you're gods. You know what I'm saying? You're not like, I guess my pastor told me I'm saved. You know, I don't know. This is prophet that told me I have a call on my life. And I'm like, no, dude, you know Jesus. You know what I'm saying? You made him the Lord of your life. You abide, you hang out with him, not because you have to, because you desperately want to. You want to be able to spend time with him and know what he's thinking and all. And so you want to make that decision. If you haven't yet, we have a way to be able to help you do that at meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve, and we're talking about heaven. It's for real.
Oh, yeah.
And you get a chance to go if you make the right decision, right? Because I've been to a couple of funerals in my lifetime, and I've heard a statement that's not correct. And normally it goes something like this. Well, at least we know that they're in a better place. And my question is, how do you know? You know, most of the time that those things are being said just to help a grieving person get over it, or, you know, bring some comfort to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, more so than getting over it, but, you know, to bring some comfort during a tragic time. But not everybody's in a better place. And in fact, Hebrews 9 says that just as people are destined to die once, then after that they'll face the judgment. And every single person will face a God one day. Every single person, you will face him. And the question is, are you prepared to die?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people get prepared for a lot of things. You get prepared for a trip.
Oh, yeah.
You get prepared to go to work and school every day. Get prepared to do a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. You know, it makes me think about what you're saying. It's just like how so many things in this world that people think about. You know, I think about, you know, even me in my own life, we think about day after day, you know, what are we going to do? What's our career choice going to be? What are we going to prepare for? I'm going to be going to school. That means I gotta find out what best college to go to, where do I want to live, the career choice I want to do. But just like what you're saying, how many people are preparing for eternity?
Think about this. How many people will spend more time preparing and studying the interest rates on the back of a credit card?
Right.
They take more time studying the specs of a television they're about to put in their home.
Yeah.
The benefits of a car and the model and all the research and the reviews than they do investigating where they will spend eternity.
Mm-hmm.
It is, this reminds me of a story that occurred over the summer, one that I don't think I'll ever forget. But, you know, I was with my family on the beach one Sunday, you know, late afternoon, early evening. And we're sitting out there. My wife and I are sitting on chairs, beach chairs, as the kids are just playing in the water, watching him. We're talking. And all of a sudden, some woman runs behind us, and she's pointing towards the water. She's screaming, "They're drowning, they're drowning, they're drowning. Help, help." And so, you know, I just react. I just jump out of my chair, and I start running into the water. And it's quite a, you know, feet away. There's no lifeguards on duty. And I'm looking, and I see two young people in their 20s, and they're fighting for their life. They're in the middle of the water.
Wow.
And I'm shocked. I'm running there. I'm losing my breath before I even get into the water. You know what I'm saying? So I'm running in there. I'm not in the shape I used to be. But you don't think about it. You just say someone's in danger, and you just go. And as I'm looking at them, I was able to see in their eyes terror. I will never forget that. Their eyes were literally communicating. Eyes tell you everything. And they're looked with such intense terror, and they were doing everything they could so that they wouldn't drown.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were slapping the water. They were heads would tilt it back. They were screaming. They were almost like they were running in water, trying to move their legs. And they just, all their efforts, they couldn't do anything.
Well, did you help them?
Well, here's the deal. When someone is fighting like that, they need to be put in a position where they could hear you. They weren't even listening as I was approaching them, because people that are drowning and they're moving and they're smacking the water and they're trying to do what they can, if you approach them, they're going to knock you out or hurt you.
They're going to put you under and then you're, stay up.
Yeah, you're both going to go down.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was trying to get their attention and they wouldn't listen. They were more interested in trying to save themselves by their own human efforts or slapping the water. But eventually something interesting happened. They got tired. They got tired real fast.
Mm-hmm.
And now they were able to listen. So I said, okay, lean on your back. Lean on your back. And once I felt it was safe enough to approach them, I started, you know, getting closer to them. They were laying on their back. They have no more energy.
Mm-hmm.
They're coughing. And we were able, myself and a couple of people, were able to bring these young people back to the shore. They weren't even children. They were in their 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And they're laying on the beach. And they're coughing and hacking and throwing up. I mean, it was just a horrific sight to see. It was something that was interesting as people were gathered all around them. The people that were just came out of the water, they thought they were going to lose their life, they weren't embarrassed. They weren't concerned who was looking at them.
Mm-hmm.
They were just happy to be alive. And I think about today, you know, how many people are potentially drowning? How many people are drowning in their life?
Mm.
Are you tired yet? Are you tired from all the efforts of trying to save yourself? You know, maybe you're drowning today and you're experiencing a horrific, you know, issues and problems in your relationships. Maybe your relationships are broken, they've been shipwrecked, and you've gone from one relationship to another, and it's not with a significant other, but just family and friends, and there's no one in your life. Maybe you're drowning in debt, and you can't do anything. I mean, you are overcome by what you owe, and it is literally drowning you. Maybe you're drowning in illness and sickness to the point of death. There's no amount of medication. There's no amount of money that you can throw to your situation that you can fix yourself. Because many times people are drowning and they're trying to do everything they can to save themselves. Are you tired yet? Are you tired of going from this person and that person, putting your hopes on another job or another career or another move or another person or another medication? Are you tired of struggling?
Mm-hmm.
This is what happens when we live a lifestyle that's one that's away from God. We open ourselves to live a lifestyle of sin.
Mm-hmm.
And when we live a sinful lifestyle, when we're away from God, we don't know Him, He's not our Lord and our Savior, we begin to make poor decisions that ultimately affect our life. You didn't get there by accident. It was because you had some bondages, some stinking thinking. You had a mindset that said that you could live your life away from God. I'll never forget what Leonard Ravenhill said. He said, the greatest sin is not murder, it's not adultery. He said, the greatest sin is for someone to attempt to live their life apart from God. Mm-hmm. That's the greatest sin.
Mm-hmm.
And there's many people today that think that they can do it on their own. And it was futile for those young people that were drowning in the water. They thought somehow that they could try to rescue themselves. They were drowning, mm-hmm. and they were taking water in, man. They were going down very fast. Mm-hmm. And no matter what, you can't help somebody. You can't reach somebody that refuses to humble themselves and to listen. And many people have blamed God for not being there, God's been there all along. But you couldn't listen to him. You didn't listen to his still small voice when he brought someone to help you, to rescue you, to pull you out. You either judge what they had to say, you filtered it through your mind, and you didn't take counsel. But you know what? You can do it today. You can make a decision to say, you know what? I am no longer going to remain in this state of my life. I'm no longer going to be in a place where I'm drowning. And I am going to turn my life over to God. I'm going to allow him to rescue me. And that's a humbling thing. I used to say that people need to experience trials and hardships for them to come to God. But I've realized that I've known quite a few people.
Mm-hmm.
That experienced some tremendous trials in their life, enough for me to say, Uncle, mm-hmm. I'm out. I'm tapping out. You ever see those MMA guys that are wrestling?
Yeah.
Some of those guys take the most brutal punishment, and I can barely stand to watch that stuff, and they refuse. They refuse to tap out. And these guys are being pummeled and beat and beat and beat and beat. And they refuse to give out, and eventually, once they're gone, once they're done, they're spent, they're wasted, their head got just crushed in a cage, they reach over at the last effort and tap out. Say, I give up. I'm done. And the question is, why would you go through those horrific trials? Why would you allow Satan to continue to bash your head in over and over and over again? Because what happens to you just doesn't affect you. It affects your loved ones. It affects your family. It affects everyone around you. When are you going to tap out and say, I need my Savior. I need Jesus. I need to surrender myself. And God gives us that opportunity. He gives us that opportunity to turn to him. When we get back from this break, we're going to continue to talk about the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Listen, Jesus said, in this life you'll have many troubles, but cheer up, because he has overcome the world. You can overcome if you have the overcomer inside of you. More we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 I Guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, 2 locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 I Guy.
The Army Navy Store. Come visit us today in one of our 2 locations to better serve your needs, in Crestview and Fort Walton Beach, where we have tactical gear, guns, ammo, multicam, and so much more. Come see us today.
Almond milk. Let me think about this.
Really?
You know, that, you know, you drink milk for years, right? Mm-hmm. You drink milk for years. Yeah, but you go buy a gallon of it back when it was cheap. Now it's like, it's expensive.
That's like much as gas.
No, it's more than gas,
actually.
Yeah, is that amazing? It's like $4 and something a gallon or something. I don't know.
Crazy, yeah.
But all of a sudden, I found out that there's actually a better product that you can drink that doesn't have as high calories, a lot of fat and milk and all that. Mm-hmm. It's good when you're a kid and you're drinking all that and getting, you know, you need that as a kid. Obviously, our brains quit growing, so you know, it's supposed to be good for brain growth and stuff. But then I found out about almond milk. I mean, think about this. I mean, almond milk, and just, I was just blown away. Like, oh, what's this going to taste like? You know, and so I tasted it, and I thought, that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just trying to figure out, how do you get milk out of an almond?
You can drink a glass of almond milk?
Yes, I could drink a glass of almond milk.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But I was more curious, like, how do you milk an almond? I'm just thinking, like, if you can milk a cow, I know how you can milk a cow, but why do they call it almond milk?
Yeah, Pat, tell them.
Is there some sort of, like, almond cow somewhere?
I don't know.
And they, like, almonds come out, and then they just, how does an almond turn into milk?
Don't have an answer for you on that.
Well, they're not our sponsors, but I do say this.
I guess they put it in a blender and chop it up.
I don't know, man. We've had our share of almonds, right?
Oh, yeah.
But it doesn't taste like almond milk.
No.
Every now and then it does have like a wood quality to it.
Especially as it's been sitting around a while.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. But I just trying to figure out, how do you get milk from an almond? They probably should just call it almond juice or something like that. But we wouldn't put it on our cereal then.
Probably not.
Anyway, getting back to the more important topics.
Yeah.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve, and we're talking about heaven. We're talking about the reality that exists for every person that gives their heart to God. We will spend eternity with God or without God. But you can make the choice today to give your heart to Jesus Christ. You know, today many people are facing trials and setbacks. They're facing so many difficulties. But I'm so amazed sometimes to see that, you know, after people would hit bottoms and drowning experiences and failures and setbacks and hurts, that, you know, a lot of times those things serve as an opportunity to awaken us. Mm-hmm. They serve as an opportunity to cause us to pause and have a, you know, reflection. You know, I've heard people that have been to prison and say it's the best thing that happened to me. It was a wake-up call for me. Someone that had an illness and said, you know what? It was a wake-up call for me. Someone who got fired from their career position, it was a wake-up call for me. Someone who was left abandoned in a relationship, it was an awakened call for them, because they had realized that for them at that moment in their life, they were serving a false god. They were bowing down to a false god, and they weren't serving the one true God. God created each person with a heart of worship. We were meant to worship God, but if you don't worship God, you will worship a false god.
Mm-hmm.
People worship money, they worship position, they worship fame, wealth, things, stuff, people, and those are poor, poor, poor gods. They even worship themselves. And the truth is that when we come to the end of ourselves, we can receive the greatest gift. God doesn't wish that anyone would pass away, but that they would come to eternal life. And you can make that choice today to say, God, I'm tired. I don't want to live this life anymore. I want to give my life solely to you. I want you to be my Lord, my Savior, my very best friend. You can do that today. In fact, some of us have written our stories. You can find more at meetmyfather.org and read some of them and find out how we came to the saving knowledge and experience of accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We would love to hear from you. The days are evil. The time is short. No one knows what lies tomorrow. But you can know the one who holds tomorrow if you receive him in your heart today.
Mm.
He wants to be your Lord, your Savior, your very best friend. And it's you. He wants you to lay down your kingdom, because he is a king, and he wants to be the king of your heart. He wants you to lay down your kingdom so that you can walk into his kingdom. and you can begin a journey that will continue from now till eternity. Do it today and let us know so we can rejoice with you, pray for you, and see you on this journey.
Amen.
You know, with this in mind, you know, they took a temperature of America, and America's a theological temperature.
Mm-hmm.
We have found that the theological temperature of America tells us that America is sick.
Yeah.
And Lifeway has done a this research, and they came up with some statistics to let us know some of the things that are happening. Well, they say that Americans, that they disagree about mixing religion and politics, and especially with mm-hmm. the Bible. They say few people heed to their pastor's sermons and see themselves as sinners. It was 3,000 people that were surveyed, I believe, Americans, and they came up with these statistics. And some of the things that we hear are startling, but it gives us an understanding and a peek and a look into what's happening in America. They say that the screaming thing that came out of this, the most important thing that they were able to see,
mm-hmm.
is that humanism is taking over America, the influence of humanism, and people trying to do things on their own, valuing, you know, humans over God. You know, that their own efforts that mankind basically is essentially good, when Jesus clearly has told us that there's nothing good in any of us.
Mm-hmm.
Even told God, why do you call me good teacher? They said researchers asked 43 questions about faith, covering wow. topics from sin, salvation, to Bible, to the Bible, and to the and the afterlife. And this is interesting. He says people like to believe in a generic Christianish God with cafeteria doctrines.
Mm.
Listen to that. People like to believe in a generic Christianish God with cafeteria doctrines. They want to pick and choose, like a spiritual buffet, what their image of God is. They like the concept of Christianity, but they want to pick and choose what they believe. Pick and choose portions of scriptures that they think are important. And it's amazing the scriptures that they like to pull out. The ones that say, bless me, heal me, give me.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing about the deny yourself ones. Those are not the favorite highlighted ones. And we don't pick and choose scriptures that we're going to believe. Build a religion like you build a bear. You know what I mean?
He's not a Mr. Potato Head.
Is he? Exactly. He's God,
yeah.
And you serve him, and you believe his entire word. They say that Americans say heaven is a real place, but they disagree about who gets in. Two-thirds of Americans, 67%, believe that heaven's a real place, according to the survey, which is interesting. So only 67% believe that heaven is real, but most people feel that they're going to be there. Everyone's going to go there.
Mm-hmm.
Just under half, 45%, say that there are many ways to heaven, which conflicts with traditional views about salvation being linked to faith in Jesus Christ. Think about that. 45% of Americans believe that there are many ways to heaven.
Yeah.
In this day and age, today, we have a lot of work to do as the kingdom, as the body of Christ in God's kingdom. We have a lot of work to do in terms of being able to share and preach the gospel. We already know that only 19% of believers actually read the Bible themselves. 81% don't. And 3% of the 19% feel that they're responsible for their own spiritual development.
Mm-hmm.
America is sick. You know what the answer is? The gospels. She needs the gospels, the gospel, the truth. And that's what's going to make America come back again.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be a political party. It's not going to be who gets in office. It's not going to be putting our hopes in a congressman and a congresswoman. It's going to be putting our hope in Jesus Christ, repenting for our sins, and turning back to God and speaking the truth. So many people are worried about offending somebody by telling them what God says. They don't have a problem with you. They have a problem with the truth.
Mm-hmm.
These statistics are startling. About half of Americans, 53%, say salvation is in Christ alone. So they believe that there's other ways to salvation. Acts 4:10-12 tells us, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but who God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus says, verse 12, salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to mankind for which we must be saved. Jesus said of himself, he is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no way, no other way to the Father except through Jesus Christ. And what America's missing is the truth. This is what they say about hell. Hell's a real place, but you have to be really bad to go there. Listen, we are all bad outside of Jesus Christ. Mm. You know what sin will get? All the sin will get you to hell. It. You know what? You want a doctor to operate on you with a knife that has a little bit of dirt or a lot of dirt? No dirt.
Mm-hmm.
Because a little bit of dirt will cause infection and cause you to die. Listen, our hope for America is Jesus Christ and us turning our hearts to him. America's sick, but we have the cure. The cure is the gospel, the truth, God's word. And I want to encourage you today, if you're believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, to share the love of God, the truth of God with your friends, your family, and your neighbor. Listen, life is but a vapor. We don't know how long we have. Don't take life for granted. Share the hope that you have and lead someone to the Lord today.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
That's right, we have another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's called the Torch Newsletter. Every week, the Torch Newsletter goes out, and in the newsletter, you're going to get the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. You're also going to get all the VFN Radio highlights emailed directly into your inbox. So whether you want to listen on your phone whether you get your emails on your tablet or whether you get it on your home PC, you will have access to that week's VFN Radio highlights. Go to VFNTV.com and select newsletter sign up or text VFNTV at 22828. Again, text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.